Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to La Femme de Prose, your podcast interview show from women. Anyway, my name is Karen Allen. I don't want to forget your host. Your host today is Karen Allen, coming to you from Washington, D.C. area. I am talking today with a fascinating author. Her name is Jodi Nethery. Today is the first anniversary of the publication of the book that we are talking about today, called Life in a Box. The author, again, is my guest today, and in celebration of that publication, stick around, because there's a freebie coming up to you listeners. Details are going to be a little bit later. And you know Focus on Women magazine, that is the reason for this podcast. And again, I wanted to mention that because Jodi Nethery is featured in the magazine, among other many authors that we discuss here on the podcast. But Jodi's really interesting because book has so many characters in it, and she weaves them in together, and she has a little mystery in there. She has family lore, and it's just, anyway, she's going to talk about that and more. So Jodi, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome, I should say, from Texas.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be there. I'm very excited to be virtually in Washington area from Texas.
We are virtually together in a virtual studio.
Yes,
and
we have
done a lot of work to make this interview happen. Definitely all this technological thing I know very little about, but we have managed. In any case, my first question is this. What the heck does life in a box mean? Why is that the name of your book, and can you explain what that means?
Yes, I'd be more than happy to explain what that means. I've been asked that quite a few times. The title came to me in the middle of the night, as most everything does to me, and I have a notepad beside my bed, and I scribble things all night long when I'm not sleeping. And I woke up that next morning, and Life in a Box was scribbled on a piece of paper. And I think probably the reason that it came to me, because in our house, back in Texas, when I was living with my parents, of course, we had a suitcase tucked in the hall closet, and it was full of photographs and journals and news clippings, that type of thing. And after my parents died, I inherited that treasure trove, and I'm sure that's where the literal meaning came from originally, was life in a box, because that's all the memories were inside of that box, or inside of that suitcase, rather. But on another level, as I began to develop the story, I wanted to tell a story about life inside of a box, one that shelters you from failure, and the one that I was most personally familiar with growing up. I was a very sheltered child. And the story also details the freedom of being outside of the box, and that comes with fearless confidence. And sometimes that takes a while to get to that point. But that's the meaning of the life in a box.
How interesting. I know you have Texas roots and Southern California roots, and I know that you put that all together.
Yes.
And you say that your childhood was sheltered, and
yes,
you, that's interesting how you put that in the box, and you talk about the confidence of being outside the box. And your protagonist, Andy, are you like her in any way?
Yes, very much so. It was very easy to write her. She has the same insecurities and fears and dreams that I personally do. So yes, she's the character that mirrors me more than anything. And when you read the book, you will find that she has that kind of a relationship with her mother and her parents. She's very sheltered, and they don't want her to fail, and that at the very beginning of the book, you realize that through a letter that that her mother has written to her in the first of the book. So yes, she is a mini me.
Did you find it hard, Jodi, to put yourself out there like that? I mean, that would be so, I don't know, I guess, pretty
terrifying.
Kind of feeling naked. Yeah, petrifying, terrifying, and sort of feeling naked. Even though, we all kind of, I guess, do that in some way with our friends, somewhat, but yet we also have a private life. But you, as an author, of course, even as you disguise yourself with your protagonist, you still put yourself out there. How did you do that? And how did that feel? I guess maybe you had the shelter of it being a fictional character anyway.
True. And that does help because you can, you know, when you write fiction, you can invent anything and make things happen for your characters that really didn't happen to you. But I think you reach a point in your life that you have to either do something and go out on a limb, and it's very hard to do that. And when you write a book, you're out there for everybody to criticize, and you've got to have a thick skin, and you have to develop that thick skin because it doesn't come naturally to me. I mean, I love everybody, and I want everybody to love me, and that's that's not realistic, of course. But when you write something,
wait, it's not. What? It's not.
Pardon me.
I was gonna say, wait, it's not. It's not. Because people that work in the media, like me, we always want everybody to love us, you know, as well. So yeah, we put ourselves out there too for the same reason, and we're like, it's not. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It is hard. But it sounds you overcame that in the greatest way. First of all, your reviews on Amazon are fantastic, so people do love you. But anyway,
I'm very pleased with that. And I think I knew that if I was going to do this, then I would be open for criticism, and I was going to have to learn how to take it. And interesting that you brought that up right now, because I was thinking about what prompted me to all of a sudden take this leap of faith, and it was a leap of faith because I really didn't know what I was doing. I knew I wanted to write, and I knew I wanted to write a novel, and I knew what the novel was going to be about, but I didn't really know how to go about it in one respect. So what I did, I got some encouragement from my book club, and they had recognized a skill or a talent in me before I knew anything or believed, I guess. I've always written things, not on this level, obviously, but, and I love to write and I love to create, but I just didn't have the confidence, I don't think, in doing that. And I got a couple of nice reviews from some book reviews that I did. One of them was Elizabeth Strout, who wrote Olive Kitteridge, and she won Pulitzer Prize for that. And she commented on a review that I wrote of Olive Kitteridge. And, I mean, I was just doing backflips when I got it. I couldn't believe it. She said, you know, this was the most amazing piece of writing I have ever seen. And then she sent an autographed copy to me of the book.
Wow.
I was just euphoric, of course. Now, that was a review of her characters and a review of what she had written, not what I had written, you know, from a personal standpoint. But it kind of got me going, and my book club encouraged me. She kind of put a stamp of approval, more or less, on it. And then all of a sudden I got a health concern, a stage 4 melanoma diagnosis. And all of a sudden it was time to do something. It was just, that was taken out of my hands. And if I was going to do anything, I was going to, you know, I was going to go for it. So a combination of all of that led me to go ahead and try to do what it was that I had dreamed about doing my entire life. Once that euphoria of Elizabeth's comments and some other comments from Catherine Ryan Hyde, and also on a review that I had done, were very positive. So you take those things and you combine them, and then you go, okay, I'm ready to do this. So I wrote about 50 pages, and I sent the 50 pages to one of my very trusted colleagues. She is well respected, and I hold her in very high regard. So I sent her the 50. She agreed to read it, and she came back about a week later and said, "Well, I can see that you did a lot of research," and she said, "But this is unpublishable, and I suggest that you take a course in fiction and learn how to do this." So the euphoria kind of died down real quickly, and she was one that I respected a great deal, and certainly respected her opinion when it came to writing. So I made a decision. I could either say, "Oh well," and I won't do this, or I just buckle down and decide to go ahead and go for it and learn the craft. And that's what I did. And when the book was, I'm sorry.
Where did you go after that? I mean, you're a mama, you're a grandma, you're a wife, you are a professional woman. You're not, you know, you didn't, you know, hang around and like do nothing your whole life. You actually worked and you're a professional. You have children and grandchildren. Where did you go to learn this craft from the start?
I didn't go anywhere. I took some online courses, and I participated in a lot of boot camps that were set up for critiques of your writing. I read just about every book that there was about how to write. I must have 30 of them, and I read every one of them, from Stephen King all the way to John Gardner to, you know, just everyone who offered an opinion, and every author has an opinion on how to do this, needless to say, and they're all different, but they all kind of...
And do they help?
Yes, confused me in the beginning, because there were so many, you know, and each one would have a certain... criteria that they followed in a certain formula, you know, that if you do this little pie chart and do half of this and a quarter of that and, you know, that sort of thing. Some of them made a lot of sense to me and some of them did not. But I did have an hour-long conversation with a gentleman who at the time his name was Al Doolin, and at the time he was teaching creative writing at Baylor. And he had published 6 books, 2 of them made into films. And a friend of mine paved the way for me to have a telephone conversation with him. And he was in his 80s, I think, at the time that we spoke. And he said to me, "What is your book about?" So I started rattling off all about the twins and the plot and what they were doing and where they were born and all that sort of stuff. And he listened very, very quietly for a few minutes. And he said, "I'm going to interrupt you now because you're not telling me what your story is about. You're telling me about the characters." He said, "What I want you to do is find a truth and tell me what your story is about. You build your story around a truth. It can be as simple as the grass is greener on the other side of the road. But what you have to do is find a truth.
That's the lesson."
Yep. And so 55 minutes later, he spoke. I never said a word. And when I hung up, he said, "When you find a truth, you call me back. When you can answer the question, what is your book about?" So I was just floored, and that's when I started, you know, really researching everything that I could find to do this correctly. And I called him back about 9 months later, and he had died the month before. I had a truth.
Geez.
I had a truth, and I, you know.
Wow.
But he pushed me, those two people pushed me probably to do it correctly. And I'm forever grateful to them for that. And
now, how long, Jody, how long between all of that an actual publication? How long did it take you essentially to write this book, really do all of this research and work and actually write this book and get it published?
It took 5 years to get it to the editors. And then
wow.
It was about another 6 months or 8 months once we went through all of the editing. And I used a small press in Dallas and had a wonderful, wonderful relationship with the editor. She was wonderful. She was funny. She just nurtured you all the way through. And I sent her my manuscript, and at the time that I sent it to her, it was 120,000 words. And she got it, and she called right back, and she said, okay, now what I want you to do is you go back through your manuscript, and I thought I had already edited it. She said, we're going to have to shave off about 25,000 of those words. So I want you to sit down and start shaving. And, of course,
oh my God.
I said, I can't possibly do that. Every word in there is important. And she said, we can't publish this at this length. You can't do it unless you're Ayn Rand. You've got to have a name to publish something this big. And so that's where we got it. But it was 5 years of writing and research and
wow.
stopping and starting and looking at a blank screen and that type of thing. But it was about five years.
You said you had a diagnosis that sounded
yes.
not so good. But five
right.
years later, you've got a book and you're still here. So that's
right.
good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was, we certainly didn't catch it early. I'm growing up in Southern California and in West Texas, I was in the sun a lot and was a, baby oil and iodine kind of a person and with fair skin
yeah.
and red hair. So that combination didn't work very well for me, absolutely. But the diagnosis was in 2004, and I'm still here. So
that is amazing. I'm knocking on wood right now because that's to keep it going. And plus, because you've got more novels in you, I want to ask you. And that's such good news. I want to ask you because we're running out of time.
Okay.
Why not a memoir? You clearly have a story to tell because you just said that you're a lot like your protagonist, Andy, with the
yes.
life in a box and the, why not just write your memoir, Jody, and just talk about your own family and the truth, which you clearly found, and your own story and your ancestors' stories and, your predecessor stories, because it sounds like there's a lot going on there.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. I did consider it, but I think it kind of goes back to what I prefer to read, and that's fiction. And, the fiction gives you a little more control over what you want to put out there. A memoir has got to be your life. And if there's something in your life that you really don't want to share, then that gets in the way. I just felt like that I could tell the story of my story better in fiction, but I did, the Smith twins are clones of my mother and her twin brother, and Will in the book is my father, his sense of humor. All of them are, most of them are based on what I grew up with, my grandparents, that sort of thing, but the events, the fictional events surrounding them, they're all fiction. None of this
right.
happened. So it was kind of fun to be able to have the characters in front of me, but yet build a story that I felt like might be something somebody would want to read. And that's all a writer wants to do, is have somebody look at it and want to read it.
Right, exactly. Now, you think this could become a movie?
I would love for it to become a movie. I think that would be wonderful. I don't know.
Who do you see in there? Who do you put in there playing the parts of your characters? Just
playing
you know,
Andy
just briefly. Yeah.
Well, I think you know, I would love for me to play Andy, of course, but I don't think that's going to happen. Beyond that, I think maybe Jacqueline Smith might fit that bill. So
I can see it. I can absolutely see it. Yes.
Well, we'll just have to get with Jacqueline and see what her schedule looks like, I guess. So
she can make time. She can make time.
Yeah, there we go.
I guarantee it. She can make time, and she has the clothes with Kmart. She has the clothes, I think.
There
you know,
you
absolutely.
Go.
Yeah, definitely. Now, let's just we've teased, and we can tell the public, we've teased that this is a celebration of the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of the publication of this book.
That's right.
Which, by the way, let's remind people, it's called Life in a Box. Why don't you go ahead and tell folks why, what's been going on and why that is a special day today and what's going on for folks, for listeners?
Okay. Well, today is the first anniversary of the publication. It was on Amazon July the 3rd, 2017, and I saw it on there and completely fell apart. It was so emotional. You can't imagine how emotional that was for me to just see it up there. But in honor of that, and also in honor of the 4th of July, the e-book is being offered for free until Friday, the 6th of July. So anybody who would like to read it can get it for free on Amazon, and hopefully you'll enjoy it, and you can't beat the price, I don't think, at this
particular
point.
Exactly. So all we have to do is go to Amazon, right, Jody, and they can get
yes.
it for free?
Yes.
That's
and that's, that's, of course, the e-book.
Yeah,
pardon
the
me?
E-book. The e-book.
Yes.
Right. The
right.
e-book is available for free as a celebration of Jody's one-year anniversary of publication. That's today, July 3rd, 2018, through the 6th, 2018.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be, this interview is archived on the website. So just so you know, that's only these few days, Tuesday through Friday. So all of you who are doing us the gracious joy of listening to this later, sorry, you have to get the hard copy or get it from the library or get it from wherever. But it's a fabulously fun book to read. So interesting and full, it will keep you. It'll definitely keep you guessing to the very end. So you definitely want to read that. But just for those of you listening today or through Friday, you will get this book for free, downloaded, an ebook downloaded from Amazon for free.
We'll try,
if we have time at the end, I'll try to mention that again. But I'm just trying to get everything into our half hour here. I just wanted to ask you real quickly, Jody. You are a first-time novelist. You said you waited your whole life to do this. But did you actually have to invest yourself in publishing? Because so often it's hard to, you know, you did all that work getting people to look at your manuscripts, but you have to get it published. A lot of people these days are self-publishing. You had a publishing house in Dallas, you said. Did you get an agent, and did you get this publishing house? Did you have to sink your own funds into this? Or how did this work for you? Just real quick.
Yes, I did. She was a small press, but yes, it was a paid position. So basically, it was self-published with her. So once she published it, then all the rights come back to me. But yes, I did have to invest quite a bit of money in order to get it edited and typesetted and to the printer, you know, that sort of thing. So that certainly comes out of the budget. I didn't feel like I had time to get an agent and then have the agent try to sell it to a publishing house, one of the big publishing houses, that sort of thing. That would have been wonderful if Random House had just fallen
yeah.
over backwards, you know. But that
well, it's
realistically,
so
it's very very difficult
to do that all the time, and more people are doing what you did, which is self-publish.
Right. Yes.
And with that investment that you're making, which I don't know how much money that was, but whatever it was, are you getting it back now by selling these books? Is it something, I mean, I'm not saying that money wasn't your object. I know that.
Right. No, it was not. Getting the story out there, but certainly getting back the investment is a goal, of course. And that's why I think the marketing is so important, and any connection that you can get that will help sell a book is wonderful. But all I really wanted out of it was to see it in print, and then the remainder of it is gravy. But yes, the book has been selling, and I'm doing a lot of public appearances with book clubs and rotaries and that sort of thing. So, and retirement homes, as a matter of fact, senior and independent living. So I'm marketing, and I am getting some of the money back. And plus, it's all writable. You can take it off of your taxes as well. So there's a plus at that. All the expenses. So,
Definitely comes in handy. Yeah, that's a wonderful. That's wonderful. I mean, the only way to do it, if you're a first-time author, unless you're, you know, the son of someone or daughter of someone famous, is to do it yourself these days. From people that I've interviewed, and people are traveling around the country in RVs and other ways to do book signings and to go to small book festivals, which there are lots of them everywhere. To sit at the table and sell their book, and people are very successful. There's a market for this, so
I think it
sounds. And then you get yourself somehow get on Amazon. I mean, marketing is key. I've been actually watching. If anyone's interested out there, there are plenty of YouTube videos about how to market your book, how to write your book, and the social media that goes with it. So I'm sure you did that too. You looked to that for some advice. I admire people who do this. Just share with me briefly, we're almost out of time, what is your discipline as a writer? Everyone out there, not everyone, lots of people want to write, me too, want to write something, and we want to know, are you the person that gets up at 5 a.m., writes for 4 hours, and calls it a day? Are you the person that has to go into the, the pavilion with a beautiful view and can write only there? How do you do it? What's your discipline?
The discipline, I think, is something that you have to develop. I don't have a schedule. I write some every day, but it's not at the same time, and it's more, when the creative juices are flowing, then I start typing. Basically, is what it is, and. You can't be distracted. Sometimes you're looking for a word, and if somebody, if you're writing in your home and your husband wants to ask you a question and you're right in the middle of that perfect word and then it's gone, So you do have to be disciplined. A lot of writers do an outline, a detailed outline. Some of them are more seat-of-the-pants kind of writers. Mine basically was I did a story board with little sticky notes because there were so many characters that were intertwined, as you know, throughout the novel, that
how did you keep track of them?
It was difficult. But without the storyboard had all sorts of lines, connecting each one, and that made it very easy. But after that, I just sat down, and the more I wrote was basically how I do it. Now, everybody is different, and there's really not a right or a wrong way to do it, I don't think, but it does take a tremendous amount of effort and a tremendous amount of discipline to be able to look at the and type the end to the manuscript. It is very satisfying.
For me, my dear, typing the beginning, first word, is the hardest thing. We have less than a minute left. Just tell us what's your next step? Is there another book coming? What is next for Miss Jodi Nethery?
Yes, there is a new book coming. I was toying with the idea of doing a sequel to this one, but I think that the characters are tired and they need to go to bed. So I do have another novel. They were exhausted as well as the author. The working title of the new novel is Kind of Hush, and it's a family of four that's torn apart. They're victims of a tragic accident, or were they? There's an older sister that survives, and there's a six-year-old young boy who's found hiding.
Say no more. say no more. Too much teasing. And we're out of time. Thank you so much, Jody Nethery, Life in a Box. We got to go, everybody. Karen Allen hosting. Wow. Life in a Box, Jody Nethery. You take care, everybody. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Karen.